My name is Molly, and this is my story. I was born into a family that favored tradition over creativity. My father, a stern lawyer, and my mother, a meticulous accountant, shared an unwavering conviction that success only came from the practical professions. My two siblings, Anna and Sam, both treaded the worn path. Anna went on to become a doctor, Sam an engineer. I, on the other hand, found solace in sketchbooks and paint tubes. The world of colors and canvases was where I belonged. "You're not still messing with those doodles, are you, Molly?" my mother would say dismissively. "Doodles, Mom?" I'd ask, feeling a wave of annoyance. "These aren't just doodles. This is art." The more I defended my work, the more they laughed, dismissing my dreams as whimsical fantasies. It wasn't just the disapproval, the snide comments, or the continuous favoritism towards my siblings that hurt. It was the sabotage. My art supplies mysteriously vanished. My finished pieces, which I meticulously worked on for weeks, were suddenly damaged or smeared. One particular evening, I remember vividly. I had just finished an acrylic painting I was exceptionally proud of, a riot of color bursting from the canvas. I had left it in my room to dry. Later, when I returned, I found my canvas smeared, the once vibrant colors now a muddy mess. My heart sank. In the corner, Sam stood smirking. "Sorry, Molly," he said, shrugging, his apology as fake as the grin on his face. "I didn't see it there. Accidents happen." Except they weren't accidents. This was just one instance in a series of many. My belongings were often hidden, my workspace disturbed. The house was a battlefield, and I was the losing side. "Why do you always pick on me?" I asked Sam, fighting back tears. He shrugged, grinning widely. "It's just a joke, Molly. Can't you take a joke?" It was then that I realized that in their world of traditions and societal norms, there was no room for me, my dreams, or my art. I was the artist in the shadows, an outsider in my own family. But little did they know, the shadows were where I thrived. They were where I found my voice, where I strengthened my resolve, where I grew, unbeknownst to them, into a force that would one day refuse to be silenced. My story was just beginning. "Next time," I told Sam, picking up my ruined canvas, "you won't find it so funny." And so, I started to plot my escape from the shadows into a world where I was more than just a joke. A world where I could shine. My Aunt Carol was the one ray of hope in my otherwise traditional family. She owned the city's most renowned art gallery, a place where artists dreamed of exhibiting their work. I had thought she'd be my biggest ally, but little did I know, she'd offer me the most challenging ultimatum of my life. "Carol!" My mother greeted her enthusiastically during a rare family gathering. "I was just telling the kids about your gallery success. It's a pity Molly only does those diddles." "I wouldn't call them diddles, Sylvia," Aunt Carol interjected, giving me a small, knowing smile. A warm rush of hope surged through me. Maybe Aunt Carol, out of everyone, would understand me. "Molly," she said, turning to me later in the evening, "I've seen your work. You're talented, but you need to apply yourself to something practical. Art can be a hobby, not a career." I looked at her stunned. "But you made a career out of art, Aunt Carol. You have an entire gallery dedicated to it." She nodded. "True, but I'm the exception, not the rule. Listen, I have a proposal for you. Abandon this impractical dream of becoming an artist and start focusing on a real career. In return, I'll give you a spot in my gallery. You can help manage it. How does that sound?" It felt like the floor had been swept from under my feet. I was being offered a spot in the city's most prestigious gallery, but at what cost? My dream? My passion? My art? "But that's not what I want," I protested weakly. She arched an eyebrow. "It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Molly. Don't waste it." That night, I lay in bed, my mind filled with conflicting emotions. On one hand, Aunt Carol's offer promised a comfortable, secure life. On the other, it demanded a price too high, my self-respect and my art. Finally, after a restless night, I found my answer in the quiet morning light. I chose self-respect. I chose my art. The next day, I faced Aunt Carol. My heart pounded in my chest as I said, "I appreciate your offer, Aunt Carol, but I have to decline. I can't abandon my passion, not even for your gallery." She looked taken aback, then her expression hardened. "You're making a big mistake, Molly." "Maybe," I said, holding her gaze. "But it's my mistake to make." I walked away, knowing I had crossed a point of no return. My family's disapproval was a small price to pay for preserving my dreams, my dignity, my art. I was ready to face whatever came next, unyielding and unapologetically myself. It wasn't until I experienced an entirely different family environment that I realized the toxic nature of my own. My friend Emily, a fellow artist I had met at a local painting workshop, invited me to her house for a weekend. Emily's family was starkly different from mine. "Mom, Dad, this is Molly," Emily introduced me, her voice bubbling with excitement. Her parents greeted me warmly. Their house was a welcoming space filled with art, laughter, and mutual respect. It was Emily's birthday, and they were throwing a small party for her. "Emily has told us a lot about you, Molly," Emily's mother said. "She says you're quite the artist." "Really?" I replied, taken aback. It felt strange to be recognized for my art, not ridiculed. The entire evening was a revelation. There was love and respect, gentle teasing but no belittling, support but no sabotage. I noticed Emily's artwork adorning the walls, each piece signed and showcased with pride. "Your work is remarkable, Emily," I said, admiring one of her paintings. "Thanks, Molly," she replied, beaming. "You should showcase yours too. It's brilliant." "But my family," I started and then stopped, suddenly aware of the stark contrast. My artwork was hidden, belittled, and sabotaged. Emily's was celebrated and showcased. "Why don't they understand?" I murmured, more to myself than Emily. "Why can't they support me like your family supports you?" Emily looked at me, her eyes sympathetic. "Not everyone gets it, Molly," she said softly. "But that doesn't mean you should give up. You deserve to be understood and appreciated." Spending time with Emily's family opened my eyes to how wrong my family's treatment of me was. It wasn't just their lack of understanding or support. It was their outright dismissal and sabotage of my passion. It wasn't normal, and it certainly wasn't right. Returning home after the weekend was like stepping back into a harsh, cold reality. The stark difference was jarring, but it gave me a newfound sense of resolve. I felt stronger, more empowered. I had seen what a supportive family could look like, and I knew I deserved nothing less. "Dad, Mom, we need to talk," I said one evening, gathering all the courage I could muster. The conversation was difficult, full of tears and harsh words, but it marked the beginning of my fight against the toxicity I had unknowingly accepted for far too long. I was ready to make a change, ready to stand up for myself and my dreams. No matter what. The decision to leave my family didn't come easy, but I knew it was necessary. I needed to put my happiness first, my dreams before their approval. It was time for me to step out of the shadows. I had thought my announcement of leaving would be met with some resistance, but I hadn't expected the harsh backlash that followed. "What, leaving?" my father boomed, rising from his chair. His face was a picture of disbelief and anger. "Yes," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "I've found a studio apartment and I've applied for a few part-time jobs." "I? Jobs? A studio?" my mother scoffed, cutting me off. "Don't be ridiculous, Molly. You're not ready for the real world." "I am ready," I protested, trying to maintain my composure. Sam laughed, his voice loud and mocking in the otherwise tense silence. "You? Ready? This I have to see." Anna chimed in with her characteristic sarcastic drawl, "Good luck surviving without our belittling support." The mockery stung, but what hurt the most was my parents' dismissive attitude. I had hoped for some understanding, if not support. "I'm serious," I reiterated. "I'm moving out." "You'll be back before you know it, begging for forgiveness," my father sneered. "The real world will chew you up and spit you out. I won't." I started, but the lump in my throat made it difficult to speak. "Oh, let her go," my mother said dismissively, her tongue dripping with disdain. "She'll learn her lesson the hard way." Tears pricked at the corner of my eyes, but I refused to let them fall. I wasn't going to give them the satisfaction of seeing me break down. "I won't be coming back," I said, my voice barely a whisper now. "I won't beg." Without another word, I turned and rushed upstairs, the sound of their mocking laughter echoing in my ears. I threw my belongings haphazardly into my bags, my vision blurred with unshed tears. The reality of their harsh words settled in as I zipped up the last bag. They truly believed I was destined to fail, that I would come crawling back, begging for their forgiveness. It was a painful realization, one that left me feeling hollow and alone. But despite the pain, the ridicule, and the overwhelming fear, I didn't falter. I was leaving for my art, for my happiness, for my self-respect, and no amount of harsh words or mocking laughter could deter me. So I left, carrying with me a bag full of dreams and a heart full of hope and determination. I stepped into the world they claimed would chew me up and spit me out. I left, not with the sound of their approval, but with the echo of their challenge in my ears. But most importantly, I left, knowing that no matter how difficult the path, no matter how many challenges I faced, I would never go back. I wouldn't give them the satisfaction of seeing me fail. I would succeed, not for them, but for me, for my art, for my dreams. As I stepped into the studio apartment I now called home, I felt a rush of fear and exhilaration. This was my new beginning, my clean canvas. Here, I could paint my own future, one that included my art at its heart. The next day marked the start of my classes. I'd managed to secure a scholarship at a local art college and was thrilled to be in an environment that valued creativity over tradition. The hum of conversation filled the college corridors, a symphony of shared dreams and collective passion. "Hi, I'm Molly," I introduced myself to a girl who was also waiting for the first class to start. "Nice to meet you, Molly. I'm Maya," she responded warmly. As the weeks rolled by, I discovered a supportive community of artists who celebrated each other's successes and helped each other through failures. They were my classmates, but they felt more like a family than my own had ever done. My passion for art flourished in this nurturing environment. I attended workshops, lectures, and art exhibitions that fueled my creativity and honed my skills. I felt a sense of belonging and acceptance that I'd never experienced before. "Molly, your work is so raw and expressive," Maya told me one day as we looked over my latest sketches. "You've got real talent." The words were a balm to my wounded heart. For once, I wasn't a misfit. I was a valued member of a community. On the side, I started working on freelance art projects. It was a daunting task, putting my work out in the world, exposing my soul through my art. But I was ready for the challenge. My initial attempts at freelancing were met with a series of failures. My proposals were rejected, my sample artworks met with criticism. The sting of rejection was all too familiar, and there were nights when I questioned my decision, doubted my abilities. One such night, as I was staring at another rejection email, Maya came over. She looked at the screen and then at my dejected face. "This is part of the journey, Molly," she said. "Failure doesn't define you. It's how you react to it that does." Those words became my mantra. I worked harder, refined my skills, learned from my mistakes. It was a grueling process, but it was worth every struggle. Eventually, I landed my first project, illustrating a children's book. The joy I felt upon receiving the acceptance email was indescribable. I was a working artist, earning my living through my passion. "I told you, didn't I?" Maya said, hugging me tightly. "You were meant for this." My journey had just begun. I was on the path of my dreams, chasing my passion, proving to myself and the world that I was more than what my family thought I was. Every stroke of my brush, every illustration I created, was a testament to my resilience, my love for art, and my refusal to let others dictate my life. Despite the challenges, despite the heartache, I was finally living my dream. And I knew, deep down, that this was only the beginning. I had taken control of my own story, and I was eager to see where this new chapter would lead me. There was a certain calmness to my life now, a peaceful rhythm that revolved around my art and the small but significant milestones I was achieving. I was no longer the misfit, the outcast. I was Molly, the artist, living and breathing art, thriving in her chosen path. Maya and I would spend hours discussing art, exploring different techniques, critiquing each other's work. It was the kind of supportive, constructive environment I'd longed for all my life. "I love this piece, Molly," Maya remarked one day, looking at a portrait I'd painted. "There's a depth to it, an emotion that really resonates." The approval felt good, not because it was validation, but because it was honest, constructive feedback that helped me grow. But beyond the camaraderie and the shared passion for art, it was the financial independence that truly marked my success. I was not only earning a decent income from my freelance projects, but had also started teaching art classes to young kids. My work was being recognized and appreciated, and it filled me with immense pride. Living alone had its challenges, of course. I had to manage finances, look after my health, juggle work and studies. But every challenge made me stronger, every setback a stepping stone towards personal growth. I was not just surviving, I was thriving. As I sat in my studio apartment one day, my sketches spread out on the floor, I couldn't help but reflect on my journey. I had left my family with nothing but a bag full of dreams and a heart full of determination. I had faced criticism, rejection, and ridicule, but I had held my ground. I had stayed true to my passion, my dream, my art. I remembered my family's harsh words, their taunts, their mocking laughter. I could still hear my father's challenge, his belief that had come crawling back. But I hadn't. I had proved them wrong. I wasn't just surviving without their belittling support. I was thriving. I was earning my own living, following my passion, making a name for myself. I was independent and self-reliant, and, above all, I was happy. As I stared at my completed illustrations for another children's book, I couldn't help but smile. Each page was a testament to my journey, a tangible proof of my resilience, my passion, and my unwavering faith in myself. Looking around my modest studio, at my art supplies scattered across the table, the sketches pinned up on the wall, the illustrations spread out on the floor, I knew I had made the right choice. This was my world, my sanctuary, my canvas. And it wasn't just the success, the recognition, the independence that brought me joy. It was the fact that I was mentally healthier, happier, and at peace with myself. I was finally living my truth, chasing my passion, embracing my identity as an artist. As I picked up my brush, ready to begin another painting, I knew I had more than just survived, I had thrived. I had risen above the toxicity of my past, and I was ready for whatever the future held. And as I dipped my brush into the palette, the vibrant colors a symbol of my journey, I knew one thing for sure, my passion, my art, had saved me. And it would continue to do so, guiding me towards a future that was as colorful, as vibrant, as promising as the painting that was beginning to take shape on the canvas.